With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I usually don't like Mondays. I don't think I'm alone in that. But this was one cool Monday for a sports fan. Man, it kept you going, too. It made the hours fly by. So some kind of a manic Monday on the baseball diamond, four potential elimination games. And then, of course, we had Monday Night Football to wrap up week number five. It was crazy. I don't know how much you caught. I get it. Not everybody gets paid to watch sports and to keep up with sports, but that's where we come in. Thanks so much for tuning in. We just had a baseball game wrap up a few minutes ago, and so likely there is still a bunch of champagne and other alcohol drying in the visitors' locker room or clubhouse at Target Field, where the Yankees become the first team to reach Major League Baseball's Final Four. So congratulations to the Yankees as they advance to the American League Championship Series, and we'll get to all the deets coming up. But on this Monday, when we had the potential for all four series to end, I am pleased to say that it was baseball fans 3, elimination 1. We got 3 series that are still ongoing, and I know there are some of you who wanted to see series end. For instance, Braves fans a little stressed out after losing in extras in St. Louis. The Dodgers fan base hoping that they would take care of the Nationals in game 4 and not have to face Steven Strasburg again in game 5. But for those of us who just love the drama, for those of us who love the tension and the heart palpitations, love October for everything it brings to the table. I say we are the winners because we will have at least 2 game 5s and potentially a 3rd. So only 1 series wrapping up on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So we've been yapping away about sports for the last, 13 hours. Going back to the first game that started Monday, which was exactly 13 hours ago. The first pitch was 1:07 Eastern time for the Tampa Bay Rays hosting the Houston Astros. But we're going to work backward. So we're going to start with the later games and work our way all the way through these 4 plus football. But just for context, 13 hours ago. And here we are just sitting down to talk about it now with another 4 hours of sports radio. So that's kind of a microcosm of what October is all about. So we've been yakking back and forth on social media. I did actually put a post on Facebook. I don't normally do that during the daytime when I'm watching sports, but I did. I did not forget about you, Facebook peeps. So you can find us either there, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or you can use my Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you haven't yet voted for our Monday MVP from the world of the NFL, well, that poll is still live on either of our social media sites. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up in 30 minutes, we're going to head to the Bay Area and talk about what was a dominant performance by the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's safe to say they're back. It's been a hot minute since the Niners were relevant for a variety of reasons. But going back to not the last year of Jim Harbaugh, but the year before when they were most recently in the NFC Championship game. Since then, it's been a roller coaster ride. It's been some poor coaching hires. It's been injuries. It's been a rebuilding project. So it's been a while that we have seen the Niners as a relevant team. Good for them. Good for Kyle Shanahan. Good for Jimmy Garoppolo, who finally has an opportunity to show what he can do on the field and stay healthy and be healthy. And so here's what I know. On both sides of the ball Monday night, the Niners were tougher, more physical, more aggressive. They were fierce. The Browns were the opposite. So we have a lot to talk about with Monday Night Football. And again, we'll head to the Bay Area in 30 minutes and we'll talk with our Niners insider. But if you're looking to talk, pontificate, tweet, message about the Cleveland Browns, I would love to hear from you about this team. Below 500, which is not a huge issue, but after the way they looked on Monday, how do you feel about them? And how do you feel about the Niners, one of the last two undefeateds remaining in the NFL? So football is forthcoming, but we want to start with Major League Baseball. Again, four games, the last one at Target Field between the Yankees and the Twins, game three. And this was a series that was billed as one that could have a ton of fireworks, which we could see a lot of home runs from both teams. The Yankees starting pitching had been suspect, kind of patchwork. No Domingo Germán because he is not with the team. Well, there's a domestic violence investigation, and so they're losing the guy who won the most games for them this year. Their bullpen's good, but sometimes it's the starting pitching that gives them fits. And what about the Minnesota Twins? Could they come through with the big hits? And finally, exercise the demons, the playoff demons against the New York Yankees. They had opportunities. So many opportunities. In fact, the Twins left 11 guys on base in this game. 11 guys, and they were 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. The difference for the Yankees is they came through when they had to.
Glaber swings and hits one in the air to left. Cave back on the track. He's at the wall, and it is gone. Glaber Torres just hit one in the left field seats, and the Yankees are on top. It is Glaber Day. And like a good Glaber, Torres is there. He homers to left, and the Yankees take a 1-0 lead. And the pitch is hit on the ground. Fair over first down the right field line. It's a base hit. Scoring is Torres. Didi holds at first. It's a base hit and an RBI for Didi Gregorius. And the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
And that was really all that they would need. They scattered a couple of other runs in there. A Brett Gardner RBI single, a Cameron Maybin home run as well. But the Twins just could not take advantage of their opportunities. Meanwhile, Gleyber Torres, at 22 years old, has three extra base hits, including the home run you hear with John Sterling on the Yankees radio network. There were multiple opportunities where I wondered if the Twins could generate that frenzy inside their own stadium and turn this into a series. Like the bottom of the second, probably their best chance in this game three. Against Luis Severino, the Twins load the bases with nobody out. But he rallies. He gets a high pop-up and then a pair of strikeouts to escape unscathed. That is demoralizing for a Twins dugout that struggled to produce runs in this series. Now, you got to credit the Yankees' defense. There were a few fantastic plays in the field to keep the Twins at bay and to not allow them to earn any momentum. So Aaron Judge, with that tall frame of his and the reach, he's able to extend up in right field and grab a ball that looked like it was headed for the wall. Torres himself ranging into right field from second base to make an incredible play. Didi Gregorius with a diving stab in the ninth inning when there were two Twins on base and just one out against Aroldis Chapman. And so the Yankees defense was really impressive in this closeout as well. Severino lasted four innings, but he did not give up a run on his four hits. And for the first time all season, Aroldis Chapman has to get a five-out save. He had not done it all year long. It's something he's done in the past. Remember, he was the closer for the Chicago Cubs when they won the World Series in 2016. But this is the first time that he had to get a five-out save for the Yankees this season. So congratulations to New York. There's only a couple of guys left on this roster, CeCe Sabathia and Brett Gardner, who were with the team back when they won the World Series in 2009. That was their last World Series. So Gardner, not only did he have a play or an RBI in this game, but he's one of their veterans that kind of keeps them calm. I mean, he can get fiery, but he brings that experience and that wisdom. And it was good to hear him talk with Ken Rosenthal on Fox Sports when they were celebrating and going nutso in the visitors' clubhouse.
Obviously, our pitching did a great job. I thought Sevy was really good today. His pitch count got up early, but he made some big pitches when he had two guys on base, some big pressure situations. And, you know, anytime we can get a little lead and turn it over our bullpen, we feel good about our chances. So we pitched well all series, and our guys put together good at-bats when we needed to. Didi and Glaber came through big for us today in some big spots, and just a lot of fun. You see these guys. We got a young team, and they're pumped up about moving on.
And so Brett Gardner and the New York Yankees have advanced and will wait the winner of the Astros against the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, Astros have a 2-1 lead in that series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In case you're wondering the schedule, we go from four games on Monday to just the one game on Tuesday because it's an off day and a travel day for the National League. So it will only be the Rays hosting the Astros in their game four. Justin Verlander will be back on the mound. Remember, he had the incredible performance in the opener, and he will go against an opener. Diego Castillo will start for the Rays, but he's only expected to be an opener. Ooh, that feels like David versus Goliath. Not only are the Rays going up against the Astros, who won 107 games, but they're sending an opener out there against Justin Verlander. So that's the only game for you on Tuesday. It begins at 7:07 Eastern Time, 4:07 Pacific Time. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll talk more about the National League. But again, we have a pair of Game 5s that will begin on Wednesday at 5 o'clock Atlanta time. And then the second game will be in Los Angeles. So kind of cool to think about the potential now in the first week of the baseball postseason. So the first week of October, we are about to have our third and fourth winner-take-all games. I had forgotten about the tension that you can feel in your gut and the heart palpitations in October, but I'm pretty excited that we still have series that will extend on for the next couple of days. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to hear from you. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. Whew! It feels as busy on this Monday night as it did on Sunday night, where very often we have a hard time cramming everything in. But I love it. I love this time of the year. It's definitely good for business. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Right-hander kicks, delivers, Zim swings and drives one at deep center field. Way back goes Bellinger to the warning track.
Left-handed swinging Peterson. Here's the windup in the 0-1. Swinging a ground ball right side. Kendrick comes in. Edge of the grass. He's got it. He throws to first. And Scherzer is out of trouble in the seventh inning. He heads the dugout, pumping his fist. Max Scherzer survives. Bases loaded in the seventh inning. Striking out Taylor and retiring Peterson on a slow ground ball to Kendrick. And they love it here at Nationals Park as they salute Max Scherzer on his way to the dugout.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Washington Nationals get the big moments, the big hit, and the big, the great escape, I guess we could call it, by Max Scherzer when they needed it against the Dodgers. And they force a game 5 in Los Angeles coming up on Wednesday. Steven Strasburg versus Walker Buehler. That'll be fun. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook. And we will shift to football in about 15 minutes. We'll head to Santa Clara, the Bay Area, and talk a little bit about the Niners and the Browns. But looking at the NL Division Series, that both will go the distance. The Dodgers actually look like they were going to make quick work of the Nationals. In fact, Justin Turner hit the first inning home run off Max Scherzer. And I wondered whether or not we would see life from the Nats. But that was the only run that Mad Max allowed. He gave up four hits, but he struck out seven through seven. And he said after the game that he was gassed. He was doing everything he could, adrenaline, grind, just to hang on. And that second call you hear on the Nationals radio network, he loaded the bases with one out in the top of the seventh on a single and a couple of walks, but he's able to get out. And there was a huge roar, not just from Max, but also from the fans there at Nationals Park. So it was really the moment that I will remember from this game and potentially this series. We'll see what happens in Los Angeles on Wednesday. But in the bottom of the fifth inning, the Nationals finally get to the L.A. pen. So Rich Hill did not last very long. Anthony Rendon has an RBI single, and then Ryan Zimmerman comes through with a three-run home run that really is the margin that the Nats needed. And I love these kind of stories. Zimmerman is 35 years old. He is an original Nat. He's the longest tenured National. We were just talking about CC Sabathia and Brett Gardner being Yankees going back now a decade. Well, that's Ryan Zimmerman. He spent his entire career in Washington, D.C. going back to 2005. And he missed multiple months this season because of plantar fasciitis. So he was on and off the injured list. And then he comes up with this home run and all the emotion, all that relief and all that release. And of course, it sets the tone for his team when he can deliver with a huge hit like that as a guy who may not be with the Nationals past this year.
I think anytime you play at home, especially postseason games, that's why you play the game. I think this is what you live for, and obviously the game's here, but then even almost more so going to L.A. for game five and Walker Buehler versus Steven Strasburg with Kershaw probably available in the pen, and you know, this is why you play the game.
Oh, yeah. Clayton Kershaw will, in fact, be available in the pen. Thank you, Ryan Zimmerman, for a preview of what's to come. So, yes, we've got Strasburg, who was brilliant in game two. Walker Buehler, who was fantastic in the opener of this series. And Clayton Kershaw, who could have potentially pitched on Monday night. Instead, sat, waited. Dave Roberts has a strategy.
Clayton was available, and it was more of a situation, sixth, seventh, eighth, potentially ninth inning, tie or with a lead. And so obviously the game got away from us, and so now to preserve him. Game five, you know, winner go home, Buehler, Strasburg, it's, you know, those guys are premier pitchers in this league.
It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait until Wednesday. It's going to be a wild Wednesday, I hope. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Nationals and the Dodgers will be the second game of Wednesday's winner-take-all doubleheader. The earlier start will be the Cardinals at the Braves. And here I am talking about this moment for 35-year-old Ryan Zimmerman. Well, game four with the Cardinals and Braves will be remembered as the Yadier Molina game. So the Braves take the lead in the top of the fifth because this young lineup comes through with big hits. Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies has a two-run home run. Dansby Swanson has had an incredible series, continues to come through with big hits. And Atlanta then leaves the bases loaded twice in the top of the sixth and the top of the seventh versus the St. Louis pen. You want to talk about missed opportunities. I mentioned it with the Minnesota Twins. Atlanta had some missed opportunities, ones that they look back on now and think, oy, oh man, this thing could have been over. It could have been done with. So we go into the bottom of the eighth, and Atlanta still has the lead, but it's just a one-run lead. And you kind of wonder if the Cardinals are going to be able to mount a charge. Both these bullpens had been a little bit dicey, a little bit scary. And the question is going to be, which bullpen blinks first? Well, you got the grizzled veteran in the batter's box with a runner on base.
Green ready. The pitch. Molina swings and he loops it off Freddie Freeman's glove into right field. Tie game. Goldschmidt scores. Molina jumps, throws his right fist into the air. Yachty has tied the game with a single that Freeman missed making the catch by inches.
Oh, definitely inches. You guys saw this play. I know if you're watching the game, it might as well have glanced off his glove. If Freeman is 2 inches taller, or if Freeman is Aaron Judge, for heaven's sakes, that ends up being a catch. It was a soft single into right field. Mike Shannon with, oh no, that's John Rooney with the call on the Cardinals radio network. Excuse me, Mike and John. And so this one goes into extras. And it's only because Carlos Martinez is able to escape a situation with runners on. In fact, he had Acuna at third base in the ninth inning, was able to get out of that situation. But gosh, I saw some Cardinals friends of mine who were tweeting about how they couldn't bear to watch another Carlos Martinez ninth inning. Yes, it's like a roller coaster ride, right? Where 1 minute you are so full of adrenaline, the thrills of being on top of the world, that's what it feels like. And then you plummet and it makes you want to throw up. And that's what these bullpens have been like. So bottom of the 10th, Colton Wong finally gets a hit, leads off with a double. There's a fielder's choice that pushes him to third. And wouldn't you know it, it turns out that it's Molina at the dish again.
Now the pitch. Molina swings, and it's a high fly ball. Left field. This should win it. The catch is made by Duvall. Tagging at third. Wong comes down the line. The throw home. We're going to game five. Wong scores on the game-winning sacrifice fly by Yadier Molina.
Oh, yes, by Yadier Molina. It was awesome. So Yadi comes away with two of these incredible hits, or what, incredible moments, two RBI. The second one was a sacrifice fly, but fantastic for him. 37 years old, a guy who's been with the Cardinals his entire career. And he is similar to the Ryan Zimmerman quotient for the Nationals, right? Because he's already been through so much with them, and he's essentially a Cardinals icon, and he comes through with these two hits, and the emotion was phenomenal. I don't know if you guys saw the throat slash that he did, kind of a response to Acuna, who had a similar motion after game number three. And so this is a good series, lots of drama, probably the best series of the four so far if you really enjoy the tension in your gut and the heart palpitations. Atlanta 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position with 9 left on base. So pretty amazing to see the ebbs and flows. And now we have a pair of game fives in the National League as the Cardinals force their game five back in Atlanta. So that'll be your doubleheader coming up on Wednesday. And so we'll do more. We'll get some post-game reaction to Yadier Molina, and we'll also get you the latest from the Rays and the Houston Astros. But we have to pivot a little bit and move to NFL Monday Night Football, wrapping up week number 5. Wow, the Niners are back. The Browns? That's still a question mark. And so we'll get all of the insider details of Nick Bosa's incredible performance, a run game that amassed, 275 yards, excuse me, against the Browns, and the worst game of Baker Mayfield's pro career. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This will be a 3rd and 3 on their 41. They go empty. Baker Mayfield in the shotgun. 3 left, 2 right. He's back. He rolls right. He always rolls right. He breaks a tackle.
He lost the ball. And Nick Bosa dove on it.
Boom!
On the Cleveland 28-yard line.
There's a 3rd down for Cleveland. They're 1 for 5 so far. It's a big one. 3rd and goal to go from the 6. Empty set. Baker throws. Caught. Go! Drop up in the air and intercepted by the 49ers. K'Wan Williams coming back the other way down the sideline. 30, 40, midfield. He'll be dropped on the Cleveland 49-yard line.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Greg Papa with the calls on the San Francisco 49ers radio network. Jaw-dropping performance from San Francisco's defense against the Browns on Monday Night Football, allowing just 180 yards along with four sacks, eight additional quarterback hits, four turnovers, and a frustrated Baker Mayfield. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Good to have you on board, and we're pleased to spend some time in the Bay Area now after this game in Santa Clara. Cam Inman covers the NFL and the Niners for the San Jose Mercury News. And Cam, my reaction was, wow, this is pretty jaw-dropping. What's your reaction to what you saw as someone who covers this team all the time?
I think it was pretty much what the best case scenario was for the 49ers. They wanted to use this as the defense's coming out party. Kyle Shanahan wanted to show he's got a run game that is really hard to figure out and stop, and that it's not all on Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulders to bring this team into playoff contention. And all of a sudden, they are 4-0 atop the NFC, and that matches as many wins they had last year. So this is how they've been playing, Amy. They've been playing really well. They kind of stumbled through a couple of the wins with a lot of turnovers, and they played turnover-free ball tonight, and their defense, that front four is for real, and that front four really helped the defensive backfield out tonight, too. So they loved getting after Baker Mayfield, and Nick Bosa loved it more than anybody else, going back to their college rivalry with Ohio State and Oklahoma.
Yeah, he said that he was talking a little smack to Baker Mayfield, but Baker kept his mouth shut most of the time. What did Nick say about the performance after the game?
And this is something that he'll probably change as he matures in the NFL, but he really let loose on him. He was brutally honest in terms of how they felt they rattled Mayfield, and that he was begging him to challenge calls so they could get after him again, and said that they knew he would hold on to the ball, and they loved it. And, you know, they have Nick coming off one edge. You have Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner, some 6'7" guys in the middle. So he was saying that he knew that Mayfield would not be able to look over these guys because he's a shorter quarterback. You know, but you know, in Baker's defense, he did scramble around a little bit, but he didn't get much protection from that line. And we knew that was probably an issue for the Browns going into this game against this matchup. And that's what the 49ers are hoping to exploit each week. And so far, I mean, they've played three straight AFC North teams, and you know, they've relied on their offense to complement the defense, and the offense has come up with over 400 yards each of those last three wins.
And in this game on Monday night, 275 rushing yards between Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman. And as you mentioned, that's kind of where they want to start with the run first offense. What makes Breida a special runner?
He's extremely fast. I think he had a 22.3 mile per hour clock on him on that 83-yard run. It was the fastest run in the NFL this year. He is a very good, undersized running back, not too undersized, but very pros pro, and he's looked like the best running back on the team, really, in the last couple of years, and it's just a matter of durability with him. He only had 11 carries tonight. He didn't need to do much. He had an 83-yarder out of the gate, and then Tevin Coleman came off an ankle injury for the first time in 2.5 games, ran for almost 100 yards himself, and it's not just the starting line. The line's playing pretty well, and they're doing it without left tackle Joe Staley, who's out a couple more weeks with a broken leg. But they're getting great blocks from the receivers downfield. Kyle Juszczyk is Pro Bowl fullback, and this is a big concern, Amy. He sprained his knee later in the game, and that's going to be an issue the next couple weeks. It's going to change their offensive approach, I would think, a little bit. It's not going to ruin their run game, but losing Juszczyk to a sprained knee, if that's all it is, it's going to be a crimp in an offense that's really humming right now.
Cam Inman covers the NFL and the 49ers for the San Jose Mercury News. We're pleased to have him here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Jimmy Garoppolo factor, we've been waiting on this with the Niners. Obviously, the devastating ACL tear in week three a year ago. And then it seemed like there might have been a little bit of rust. Maybe he had to get back into the flow. How close does he say he is, or how close do you believe he is to being the quarterback that they wanted, that they went out and paid $27.5 million a year for?
Well, he's 4-0, so that's a good start. He's playing pretty well. You know, he had a rough debut in Tampa, and he had a rough exhibition season. but he controls this offense and he knows the offense way better than he did when he came aboard in 2017 for that December cameo when he went 5-0. And he is just really the calm leader that they like. I mean, he's really loose. He's very happy. The knee seems fine. He's able to elude some sacks, and he knows, you know, how to get down now where he's not jeopardizing his health. And he's in a really good place, Amy. I mean, after the game, we were just, as he was getting ready for his press conference, we were just BSing at his locker, and we were talking about Chipotle and how he likes Chipotle. I mean, you know, he's gotten over the Chipotle scare from a couple years ago. He's a big fan of the chicken Chipotle. He's not ready to go with the carne asada, the new offering. So it's that kind of, everything's happy-go-lucky now with the undefeated Niners.
You can tell that this is a quarterback, or you can tell why, I guess, that this is a quarterback that Bill Belichick wanted to hang on to. He kind of fits the mold of what would work for Belichick. And I think it's important, too, as you talk about, that he's had some time in the Kyle Shanahan system and that they put weapons around him. They've got guys that he can throw to and different targets that he can hit.
Yeah, well, going back on one thing you said about Belichick, you know, when he was there with Brady, obviously learning under Tom, but then Jacoby Brissett was there as well. Like, they had a three-man wolf pack that they like to still, they're still very good friends. And so this is a big time. This is a great weekend for those three because you got Brady, Garoppolo as the only undefeated teams right now. And then Brissett just pulled off a big win last night in Kansas City. And, you know, Jimmy has said that they, all three of them knew that they were good, and it was just a matter of getting their opportunities. And so Jimmy's doing well. Everybody's going to rip the Niners receiving corps because they don't have Julio Jones on it like Kyle had in Atlanta, or there's no number one. But that's not what Kyle Shanahan's offense absolutely needs. They just have a multidimensional set of wide receivers, and when those guys are called upon, they better make the plays. Now, tonight, Dante Pettis and Deebo Samuel each had a drop on what could have probably been a touchdown. But they're young wide receivers. So I don't think Kyle's going to want to scrap that because he's used second-round picks on them to go maybe go trade for a bigger-name guy. But I don't know if there's one out there that he would even really go for, because right now what they've built up in that locker room is really a big chemistry that they've, you know, they've got each other's back, as they're saying, and they know that the NFL world has frowned upon them the last couple of years, and right now they're 4-0, but they're not full of themselves. First thing Shanahan said was they're approaching it as if they would when they were 0-5, that they just have to do their job. And I will tell you what, if anybody knows what it's like to be 0-5, it was Kyle Shanahan who started 0-9 with the 49ers in 2017.
Right. Definitely a toad that comes along with having Richard Sherman on your defense. And he had the interception. And after the game, he's crowing about the fact that if you thought we were going to stink beforehand, or you had us ranked 25th in the NFL before we started, well, you don't get to change it now. Stick with it, because I want to laugh at you idiots. That's the term that he used. How much does he bring to the table as a veteran, but also as someone who has an edge to him?
He has the swagger, right? But the good thing is, you know, he came with that last year and the team didn't do well. Right now he's got better teammates on defense around him that are backing it up for him. And he's got two interceptions now. He got a second interception tonight. He had none last year. He's healthier. You know, the Browns threw at him more than they did this cornerback on the other side, Emmanuel Mosley, who made his first career start tonight. And it was kind of an odd look. I don't know what they were thinking, but Sherman loves that challenge. He wants to make sure that everybody knows he's a Hall of Fame-bound cornerback, so keep throwing at him. And he's talking to everybody. I will tell you what, I've covered the NFL for 20 years, and you can tell when guys are insincere or showmen. Sherman is a very smart, very good football player. I mean, yes, when he's done playing football in a few years, I would be fine with him being the NFL commissioner. I don't know if NFL owners would be, but he'd probably be, like, he could definitely be an NFL player. I mean, he knows the game, and he knows how players are supposed to be. He knows the media. He is wonderful to be around, and I love just talking football with him, and not in a fan way, but just learning about stuff, and he explains things. As reporters, we want to be educated, and Richard Sherman educates in his own very way, and sometimes if you've called him out on something, he'll call you right back out on it. It's great.
Cam Inman with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I'm glad you brought up the fact that the Niners are back kind of in the league consciousness again, because they'd gone through some really rough years. And I just said before we brought you on the air, maybe even going back to that 8-8 season, the last one with Jim Harbaugh, and that is Jim Tomsula, who is more like a sacrificial lamb. And so they go through all of this transition, and now here they are. Can we officially declare them back, Cam?
Absolutely. I mean, this is, they're 4-0, right? And the last time they were this above 500, you know, they were 7-4 in 2014 under Harbaugh when the Seahawks came into their new stadium in Santa Clara, Levi Stadium, and beat them on Thanksgiving. And since then, the franchise went into a tailspin. And tonight, I saw something at Levi Stadium that I've never seen, nor I really want to see again. But the seats were full and the fans were doing the wave. And it was a very disturbing but understandable reaction to a fan base that all of a sudden is, they are stoked. They are willing to pay the prices to go to a stadium surrounded by Silicon Valley tech businesses to have a good time and cheer on a team that, if they don't make the playoffs after starting 4-0, I don't know what will happen. But this is a really good sign for the 49ers franchise. They've got their franchise quarterback healthy. They've got their brain offensive coach scheming up plays. And what they really need to do is just avoid injuries, because that's what destroyed them the previous 2 years. And right now they're only at the quarter pole.
I almost forgot about the Chip Kelly year. I don't suppose that people who are in the Bay Area could, but gosh, I was thinking Jim Tomsula, and I know someone came after that, and I had to look it up to remember it was Chip Kelly. Yeah,
the Chip Kelly year was the Chip Kelly year was the Colin Kaepernick protest year.
Yes.
And so that really overshadowed everything, and that was one of the most bizarre seasons ever, because honestly, you were covering two stories. You were covering what Colin was attempting to do, and it was the most polarizing thing I've ever covered. And then you were covering a really terrible football team, and that's why Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch came aboard and got six-year contracts to show that they could turn around a team that right now looks like it's getting turned around.
Mm. You can follow Cam on Twitter at Cam Inman. Really easy. Covers the NFL and the Niners for the San Jose Mercury News. It's great to catch a couple of minutes. Thanks so much for the insight.
All right, thanks, Amy. Have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.